juice.
It's showtime.
So we're live.
We're live. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Nerdy Up North podcast. It's a nerdy podcast hosted by a Northern Nerds. I am one of your hosts, Sam.
And I am the other host, Paul. And we are live. We are live, promise.
We are live. Of course we're live.
Because this isn't Monday.
Fight us.
Yeah, fight. Tell us we're not here. even though at the recording, Jess will probably be asleep on next Sunday when this is out, after a weekend of debauchery and madness. But yes, we are joined by the beautiful and the vibracious, lovely and ever perfect Jess.
Hi.
Hi. looking all beautiful and sultry and hiya.
Have you been watching Top Grumps? Have you been getting lessons from Chris how to like introduce yourself? Alright.
Alright.
How are you, Jess? How have you been?
I'm good. Yeah. Excited for the lead up to the weekend of the big horror weekend of the UK.
Wait, it's already happened.
It's happened. I'm overwhelmed after the biggest weekend of horror in the UK.
And look how fresh you look. Amazing.
Tell you what, you did well killing Graham. Like, Graham is dead now because he annoyed Jess so much during the convention that Jess has basically got away with murder. So well done, Jess. But yes. Yeah. So yes, it feels like I've only been speaking to you 5 minutes ago, which feels like I was. But yes, so tonight's episode, if you haven't noticed, with this,
having a guest,
I would love to say it wasn't my pick, but it was, and not for the most obvious reasons at all. Like, say, I love goth girls and I love big boobs. But yes. So Elvira was well up my street. And I'll let Sammy do this disclaimer before I get myself in any more bother.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So everything discussed in today's episode is our opinions and our opinions alone. If you'd like to discuss anything from today's episode, please come and join us on our Facebook page. Come and join us on the Discord or the comment section where we can have an open discussion. But what we won't have is anyone coming for us and telling us our opinions are wrong, because we can all agree to disagree in fandom. So let's keep it fun, keep it kind, and keep the toxic behaviour out of her nerdism.
Very well said. So this movie, shall we say?
This movie is, yeah. Can I do the taglines before? I feel like that's such an icebreaker into this brilliant... brilliant movie.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I'm going to need an icebreaker because I, as I said, I've got to keep my eyes straight forward.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Elvira busts out in her outrageously funny feature film debut.
Right. Okay. On the point, on the nose.
It's the bust.
Yeah.
Here's something you'll all want to pick up.
Right.
Elvira makes her big scream debut her hot new comedy.
Right, okay.
Here comes Elvira. There goes the neighborhood. And the one that we all should know, because it's the one that she says not only in this film, but everything that she does. Unpleasant dreams.
I can't believe... Like, we've been doing this podcast for 3 years now. And, like, you do a monster podcast, and we've done some weird shit. Like, we've done Orgasmo. Yeah. We've done The Monsters. We've never touched on the majestic and the beauty that is Elvira. She's never came up in any of the conversations we've had to this point.
Well, maybe one. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't this podcast. It was the Women of Nerd Culture. She was one of my inspirational women.
Right.
And that's the only time I've ever spoke about her.
Oh, yes. What type of league would you put, like, Elvira or Cassandra Peterson, shall we say? Because, like, there is icons of movie. There's icons of cult classics. I would put her on the same pedestal as I would put Dolly Parton.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But totally different.
Yeah.
Like,
in the most perfect way. Yeah,
in the most perfect way. Cassandra Peterson is an absolute treasure. I had the pleasure a couple of years ago of picking up her autobiography. Nobody on audio is going to be able to see this beautiful cover of her. But it's an eye opener. It's not life changing.
No.
It's certainly inspirational.
Yeah.
Especially for like I was just starting monsters and she's a horror host and stuff like that, and very inspirational. A life lived is the best way I can describe Cassandra Peterson, because she's done it all, from Las Vegas showgirl to stand-up comedian to when she used to do improv when she was the Valley Girl before she became Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, which she has then managed to keep going for how many years now?
She's still keep going.
Oh.
She's still going. She's d doing. She's working for other horror TV channels, doing promotions like the Horror Nights and stuff like that. She does podcasts. I try to get her to come on here on one of our podcasts. I'll be honest though, and this is how much of a class act like her and her team are. Like I've emailed so many different people like to try and get on the podcast or messaged out. 99% of them don't even respond. I think there's only been two big names that's kind of responded friendly. Robert England's team got back to us and said, "Oh, we'll keep you in mind," which is a nice way of saying no, but thank you for keeping us in mind and thank you for replying. Cassandra Peterson's team didn't say no. They went, "We will come on your podcast if you have such and such as many followers." And I was like, "Oh, shit."
There is, but there's a goal. There's a goal to try and reach.
I think it was 250,000 on YouTube that before they would consider it, but
So come on, people. If you want to see Cassandra Peterson on this podcast, you need to get them numbers up. I've just remembered, I think it's 40 plus years, because she did the 40th anniversary on Shudder, where she did her old setup, where she had the lounge chair, and she did the movies, and then the last movie she did was hers, and it was such fun.
So I know Jess is a lot younger than us too, let's be honest. What was your introduction to the world of Elvira? Because I know you are a spooky queen as well. So this probably was a little bit of a how can I say it? Relevation? Here we go.
Right, you're gonna get me tongue-tied now.
Yeah.
Revelation.
Yes, there we go. That's why you're the brains and I'm just the chaos.
Yeah, I think is when I started getting into like a lot of like the horror movies and stuff like this. I used to watch a lot of Carry On films, and I was obsessed with like all the women that were in them. And my mum was just like, "Oh, there's this movie. Like, you should sit down and watch it. It's dead funny. It's great. Same kind of thing going on." But I think I was about 8 or 9 year old watching Elvira for the
Same.
first time. And when I rewatched it, I'm like, "What were my parents thinking?"
Mine didn't know.
We have a constant running joke about it, that if it ever comes up in conversation of like, why did I turn out the way I turned out compared to my siblings? It's like, you showed me this movie at the age of 8 year old and you didn't expect it to have an impact.
Yeah, that's like, as much as my parents didn't know that I'd watch this, I grew up from a very young age on Rocky Horror. From a very young age. What were they, what did they think was gonna happen?
No, this is a quite a smooth transition from like Rocky Horror to Elvira. It's quite, but what I loved about this movie, and I watched it again today, and again, you still get the warm and fuzzy feelings because I know people joke about it being a B movie, but this film does have heart. There's a lot of stuff going for it, and this came out in 1988, so the same time as Beetlejuice, which is just like crazy because if you look on the production value for the both. Beetlejuice obviously had money. This obviously didn't have as much of a budget, but what the budget they had, they made the most with it. And if you look at like the type of the comedies that were coming out around about this time, like in the 80s, like we've just had like the Porky's, as I said, the Revenge of the Nerds, like the proper sex comedy, like adolescent teens. That's probably the raunchy type of thing, and this kind of.
That sex comedy.
But like say where it was all tits and ass and like dick jokes, but well this had a little bit more class. I know like you look at the picture, you see two fantastic assets that she had, and she used it. But Elvira was never a, like, say, a bimbo, was never just a sex symbol. She was a strong, like, feisty, and she knew her worth a lot of the times. Like, fair enough, she had goals and aspirations, especially in this movie, but never, she is never once a victim or needing anyone to, like,
No.
kind of like rescue or save her in this. And I think for the 80s, I know we had like Ripley, like in Aliens and stuff like that, but we had very few female women being as powerful as what Elvira was in this movie.
Yeah, the message in her book is very clear. I am a woman. I know what I have, but that does not mean that I don't know what's going on up here. And she's just she's totally and utterly 100%, like she's 100% confident with herself, but confident enough to know that she is more than that. She is more than what you see, because that woman is hilarious. Like she started, she as I said, she started as a Vegas showgirl, because she loves the name drop in her book. She loves a good name drop. She once, as a teenager, followed Jimi Hendrix round for a bit, to where she eventually got on the phone with him, and it didn't go very well because she freaked out and panicked. As a Las Vegas showgirl, she got introduced to Elvis way before he started his drugs and alcohol trade. He was like, the true professional Elvis, and he warned her. He said, "Get out of Vegas. This place will chew you up and spit you out, and you won't have a leg to stand on." She didn't listen to him. She went on, and she lost her virginity to a very Welsh famous singer, Mr. Tom Jones, who put her in the hospital.
Oh dear.
Yep, because the rumors are very true when it comes to Tom Jones. As I said on the Women of Nerd Culture podcast, he nearly split her in two.
Well, I
And
didn't think
she
we were going
couldn't.
to that length tonight, but yeah, still.
The next, but the thing is, though, she was saying in the next day, when she went after she'd come out of hospital, she went to go and talk to him because he had a residency at Vegas, and couldn't because his wife was there.
Oh shit.
So she, but
Amazing.
she's so good at telling her story, because it moves on from Vegas and she goes into the Groundlings, where she meets Paul Rubens, and she was very good friends with oh, what's his name? Phil Hartman. Really good friends with Phil Hartman. She has the whole thing of how devastated she was by Phil Hartman's death. And then she gets the opportunity by chance to become Elvira. And it's met with a lot of to start with, because she gets sued by famously sued by Vampyra. Yeah, which went in her favor, because the judge just turned around and said, "If you want to open that can of worms, where does your character come from? Morticia Adams. Do you want us to start going down that route of intellectual property? Because we can." And Vampyra team back down. I'm only gonna say this once. If you really truly want to know this woman, this book is everything. It
Right.
is so good. It has left a mark on us, for sure.
And it's good that, like I said, because it role models like that that kind of like change the way and like paves the way, sorry, not change the way, paves the way for a lot of different people, like alternative or might not feel like they're in like fit in or have their place in the world. It kind of gives them an out and says, right, this can be me. I don't have to fit the norm. I don't have to be the stereotypical what everyone expects.
Yeah,
And
she's all I ever wanted to be when I was I first met. I met at the same age as Jess did, obviously a little bit more in the past. But I met her at 8, 9 years old, and she was all I ever wanted to be, and I have never been able to match up to that. But it's she was always, I dyed my hair at 15 black because of her. Like, it's just little nuances like that. But yeah, she's all I ever wanted.
But it's all interesting as well with Jess saying about Elvira, like being her starting point being the Carry On films. They like the Carry On films is a
That's
very
understandable.
British bawdy, like tongue in cheek, like ooh ah misses, like kind of like innuendo jokes. And this was Elvira to the T, because I think I know it showcases her as in a sexual way, but There is very little nudity. Well, there's no nudity at all in this movie. There's like, as I said, there's little teasers and
The
stuff
one,
like that. And
yeah.
it's always just like the little jokes and all those. But she never like kind of like goes full hog with them jokes as well.
No.
It's very much like an American carry-on film, but done with a little bit more class in a way.
I think it's just that the movie is like the most hilarious, like kind of comedy bit with her, where she's gone into like her dressing room, she's kicking off, she's gonna leave the studio and go to Vegas, and she's chucking like about five pairs of stockings. There's about three pairs of knickers go over the side of the thing, and the guy's just catching them all. Which works, she's still wearing the same outfit. She hasn't actually taken a single thing off. It's just the
No.
joke of, is she going to step out nude? And it's like, and she just never changes the outfit.
No.
She's like that for the entire movie.
Well, there is a reason why you'll never ever see Cassandra Peterson nude, and why she never did Playboy, why she'll never ever, why her dress is shaped the way that it is because Cassandra Peterson is about 70% covered in burn marks. And you would never be able to see them. She hides them so well, but if she took her dress off, you can see all the way up her arms, all the way down her side, on her back. She was severely burnt as a child.
All
And
right.
that's the reason why that's why her dress is the way that it is. It hides every bit of thing that she needs hidden.
Yeah, I think I'd seen the quote where it's like the dress shows exactly what I wanted to show, all it needs to show. Everything else is but yeah, it is. I think she is just one of those people of like, as far as, because there is the run of all the goth female icons, and it's great to see artwork of all of them all together. But when you get the difference of like, yes, Vampire, you had a very punk-esque version. But then you had like a run of Morticia, Lily Munster. It suddenly becomes very cutesy, very demure, very well put
Very
together. All of a sudden, you've just got
mindful.
this. Yeah, now you've got this kind of ridiculous kind of slapstick, can have a laugh at herself kind of person. I think that's way more relatable, because you can't walk around that demure all day. You know, the veil drops
I've
after so
tried.
long.
Watching it today, and I know like the slapstick comedy, a lot of people like always go back saying, oh, Laurel and Hardy, or like say, were the kings
Oh,
of
I
like
love
slap,
Laurel and Hardy.
the kings of like slapstick comedy. The slapstick in this movie, even though it is a B movie and there's a lot of B movie elements, the slapstick comedy is up there with some of the best. Like her when she's going up the ladder and she's helping him take the words out, and she pulls off the E, slips, and puts it over where it says UCK, so it looks like it says lessons to fuck. And it's like, and then you get the townspeople looking at her and like faint and going, oh my God, she's going to be teaching our men how to fuck. But yeah, but it's like that type of little comedy. But like some of the lines are beautiful. And like the most famous line as well, we said it on Beetlejuice last night, has reverberated like in pop culture and is one of the best lines on RuPaul's Drag Race as well, is how's your head? And Elvira, without a blink, has said, well, I've never had any complaints. And again, I don't know if that joke was ever said before or any other movies is, but I think that was my first ever hearing that little joke or hearing that comment. But it's done so naturally and as well. It's just, as I said, it's a kind of like a blink and you miss it type moment.
Yeah, I'll say she coined it. I'm just
I
putting it
would
out
say, yeah, I
there.
think it's
She coined that.
But we're not.
There's so many other ones. I mean, I love it because when they mention about the old biddy that runs the town,
Oh,
he's like, the only thing you've got to worry about is Chastity Parra. And she's like, oh, I thought that cleared up. It's like, no, the old lady from down the road. It's little things like that. They're just so novel.
Oh, but she certainly learned from the best, like especially like coming up in the Growlings. There was a lot of talent behind there, and her relationship with Paul Rubens. If Paul Rubens wasn't doing or had just done, it was riding on the back of Pee-wee's Herman Big Adventure, he would have been in this movie.
Oh, interesting. But that, like, when you look at this movie as well, because I know people laugh about when you talk about plot, the story-wise was actually quite entertaining. Like, it was quite a fun story, and they kind of played it out, and they had decent B-movie 80s actors in there, because it's like when we were talking about Beetlejuice, that's there's a lot of actresses and actors that you'll say, I've seen him in something before. I recognize that person, and the 80s was quite famous for that. If this money, if I dare say, if this had a little bit of a bigger budget, I think we would have had more things coming from this movie. What was that?
Sorry, I was the reason I was looking down at my phone for, and I do apologize. There's one woman who I was thinking, just you've just done it there. You've just said, "Oh, I recognize this person from there," and it's been sitting in the back of my head. Patty, she's in Beetlejuice. I didn't know that. I've just seen it there. She's one of the guests. Fuck's sake, man.
But that's the thing. I think one of them, I could be wrong, looked like Mean Marge, if I'm, but no, I don't think it was. I think that's just me making stuff up there. But she looks like she.
You might be right.
No, I don't think I'm right on that one. I can't claim that one. I just thought she looked a little bit like it. But yeah, and even one of the kids.
Possibly the two most recognizable people are Chastity Pariah and the real other guy's in Wayne's World, and he's in like Scary Movie. He was in
Oh,
everything.
he's in Ghostbusters 2, Kurt Fuller.
Yeah.
But also the late Jeff Conaway is in there, from Greece. But the one that's just really blew my mind, and I can't picture where she is in the film, but I know she's part of the Growlings, and I know she's part of Cassandra Peterson's clique. It's Charlie Day's mom in Always Sunny. She's in
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so looking at where she is in the
But
movie.
and again, if you one of the great, like one of the little geeky boys as well is in one of the greatest sequels to a horror movie ever made. He was in Nightmare Before Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors. He was the wizard master.
It's a dream
Worst scene in a movie ever about a killer movie, stop dead, of like, you can do anything in your dreams. I'm now a D&D wizard. Woo! Like, just lost me.
Oh, come on. Number three was one of the better ones, if you think of it. Like, number four and five were unwatchable in my eyes. I'll be honest with you, but
Yeah.
that's for a different franchise for a different conversation.
We've already done it. I'm not doing it again.
One, two, Freddy's coming for you. But yeah.
We got took down off YouTube
Yeah, it did, because I was showing too many clips of Dream Warriors. I think it was I think it was
that
the Welcome to Primetime bitch that took us down.
YouTube was like, that's enough.
Oh my God.
But yeah, that's when we stopped using clips on our show. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
But no, and again, a lot of people like take the piss out of Elvira because like the way she looks. But in this movie as well, she has a pretty decent moral compass as well. She stands up for herself, as you said at the start, when the sleazy Harvey Weinstein movie executives being all like provocative and
Lechy.
lechy towards her, she stands her ground. And basically, in today's, well, probably in the 80s or 90s, she would have got herself black boot, black wrote off,
Blacklisted.
blacklisted from any different movie or for the way she acted. But no, she couldn't give a fuck. She knew what she wanted to do, and she knew her worth, and she went there. And even when, like, throughout the movie, and she is like sexualized, but she's in control of it. But you get all these lechy, pervy men that can't control themselves or like handle, like, say, a powerful, strong, beautiful woman. The instinct,
Yeah.
all like the guy who's trying to sell a house, and he's like giving it all innuendos, and it's just horrible. It's the guy who plays one of the angels in Supernatural as well. He's one of the archangels. But yeah, and like that's an uncomfortable scene now, but I remember back then, it would, especially after watching like the Carry On movies, men and women would have been laughing like their heads off and like not thinking about the way we probably would now. It was like, oh
No,
no.
very, very, very different time. Very of its time as well,
Very much.
especially with. And do you know what I've just drawn comparisons to with this movie and the story? And I'm guessing Elvira comes first is Tu Wong Fu. The story is quite similar. Honestly, it's just come to us then, and I was thinking, like, you know, because you were talking about the plot, and I was like, oh yeah, this is really good. Like, it's just like it's quite wholesome in a way. And then I was like, oh God, so is Tu Wong Fu. Oh my God, they go to a town and they redo it over. And then they leave it better than it was. And that's what she does. Honestly, it's just been a weekend of revelations.
But like with any B movie though, that does have some fantastical and weird elements, like the whole witchy element was just hilariously done, where she was left her Andy's cookbook, where and turned out to be like a spell book. But one bit that had me floored today, and honestly, I've never needed a laugh so much today, and it absolutely broke me, is when you see Elvira being left at an orphanage by a Rottweiler, and it's like baby Elvira, and you open up the cot, and it's just like little baby with Elvira makeup plastered on her face.
It's the little spiked bracelets she has on.
It's just adorable, but so wrong at the time. It's like they went in the makeup department, how can we make this baby look as trashy? Because let's be honest, Elvira's makeup is perfect. Like, there's
Oh,
nothing
it's
trashy,
flawless.
or horrible about Elvira's makeup. But that poor child, it looked like someone had just got a makeup bag and flung it in his face and went, that's what'll happen, that's what'll do. And it just looked so confused looking up at you as well. It was just like, what's
Going on?
happening?
It's the pink blusher.
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
I know she wears a lot of blush, but my goodness, that baby, like, it's already pink to start with. It doesn't need any more. I absolutely adore a dog.
Yes. Oh, can we spend a few minutes talking about how Gonk, like, is just amazing? And
I so want that dog.
it's just the transformation as well, and its own little personality, and how it runs around, like, being either being adorable or helping the story going along as well. It
Yeah.
that's the incredible part. I've got him there. He's in the cabinet
It
on the fridge.
is, but
I thought
apparently
you had
Gonk
Gonk.
was awful to work with. Apparently he was an absolute nightmare, and like the bane of the movie set was dealing with this dog because it
Right.
only liked the handler. It bit the guy from Wayne's World. He ended up with an actual injury on his ankle because it fully went for him.
Okay.
And he's called like
Oh
Binny or
no.
something like that. That's the actual name of the dog.
The
Just like
illusions have been shattered.
To be fair though, if you were that dog, how pissed off would you be if you'd been dressed up like that? It lost all self-respect, because like they didn't just put like a thing; they actually modelled it and did all the different effects. That was actually proper on him, bless it. The poor thing had a Mohegan in, and yeah, I felt sorry for the dog for that.
We always joke when I was a kid because we watched the movie all the time. We had a Westie. And my mum was like, I
No.
never would. She was like, but I'd love to one year for Halloween, actually turn him into Gonk. Like, if there was an ethical way to do it, which I think there is now. At the
There
time,
is
there
now.
wasn't.
Yeah. It always used to worry me when I was like, what are they actually like? Not as a child, obviously. I'm not thinking about that. I'm just like, oh my God, that dog is so cool. But as an
Yeah.
adult, I'm like, what are they actually using on that animal? Because I know it's only just improved in the last few years where you can get like powdered coloring where it's not, permanent fucking dye. But yeah.
Choices were
How
made, but yeah,
did they do
but as the story goes on, it does get ridiculous. But I love the fantastical and like the paranormal element to this movie. And with it being spooky season, this is right up the street for like the B movie from the start, when you get the spooky, horrible uncle guy who wants all the powers, and he gets more and more desperate, and he's got a little henchman that's just hilarious, right, chasing after Elvira. But when she uses the cookbook for the first time, and the effects for that, like, I know practical effects and everything, this was done so well. You think it's done shit, but honestly, when you watch it back, I would love to know how they did it properly, because it's basically they cook this like hot pot, and he just put cheese whiz and kettle chips in just to say make the soup taste better. And it opens it up, and this monster comes out, which is clearly someone's hand underneath the table. But then they pick up the pot and they move it in, and they drop it out of the pot, and it's almost like, you know them, this is gonna sound really rude, but you know them bags of slime you used to get that you used to like squeeze and it used to change its shape.
Yes, I do know what you mean.
It was almost like that in a blender, just running around in the sink like this, and it was like that. Just I was like, are they motorizing it? Is it? But it looked so fucking funny though. I was laughing me tits off. Like I've not laughed as much watching a movie today than I've watched Elvira.
I'm so pleased. Do you not think it reminded you of the goo from Ghostbusters 2? Do you know when it comes out the bath at in Dana's apartment and it's like layers up. It reminds us of that so much.
Just without the CGI and the millions
Yeah,
budget.
and the yeah, but that's it. That's it. Like I was telling Paul before we came up, before we started recording, this movie is like completely financed by her. Her and her husband got the finance for this. This is what, like, when you think about the budget, and then which I don't know, and I'm very sorry, I'm very unprepared to do it.
Seven
But
million.
see, that's not a great deal, especially for what they were dealing with.
Yeah, especially when you look at what the shots like. They had a massive house, and they actually painted the house as well. They had some big shots for this movie as well. It's not where it's like everything was enclosed like in one room. It's not like a Clerks where everything is filmed in like single shots and thing. This feels like a quite a big movie set would have been involved with this. I know, and they probably touched on our like had homage, shall we say, to all the classics. Like there was Munsters vibes, there was Adams Family vibes. Like all the classics were kind of touched on in elements in the look and the feel of this movie. And it was never like kind of like done it in a mocking way as well. That was one thing I thought, because this could have been a big joke. If you think of like Revenge of the Nerds and stuff like that were just like laughing jokes and just a piss take on a different culture. This never kind of took the piss. Like it almost like every
No.
it was like everyone was kind of in on the joke, and even like the
Yes.
Flashdance moment, like oh my God, like I mean they took the
Oh
piss out
my
of Flash,
God.
and that was the bit where
Oh.
like when you had sort of like a professional dancer and they were cutting in scenes where Sandra
You
Peterson
tell
sits
it's
up,
clearly
they're
not
just like
her.
this is her, there's one scene.
Brilliant.
It's when she's turning around and it's like the smile on her face. Oh my gosh. Oh, you totally thrown us. I knew what I was gonna say, and then you've thrown us with the bloody flash dance bit. Oh.
But that whole moment and scene was just absolutely like done so well, because you've got her in the cinema, and again this made me want to go to the cinema, because if ever like even if it's a shit movie, I would love to have someone like Elvira or Cassandra Peters just sitting on the side slating the movie on a microphone, just like taking this. It's such a well an old idea. Like I know you've got like Mystery Science Theater 2000 that do it, and I know a lot of the old horror films did it in the past, but
Still do it today.
do they? I didn't know that. No.
Bill Bob Briggs, I hope I've said that right. He hosts on Shudder with Darcy the Mail Girl, who I am friends with on TikTok. However, her knowledge on horror is ridiculous. She's an ex-porn star, and you can tell. But
Well, yeah, does
she
porn stars
went.
have a look, Sammy, do they?
You go and look at Darcy the Mail Girl and tell me
Right.
they don't.
So you're telling me to look up porn? Is that so I can tell my wife
No,
now
look up Darcy the Mail Girl.
to
Don't, because I'm spending time with your wife soon, so don't. But no, they got her on for the last podcast on the left podcast, and they were like, you don't know, you don't know. And she was like, test me. So they did this huge test on her, and she's like, boom, boom, boom. She knew everything. But yeah, Jo Bob Briggs, Elvira, n she did the, like I said, she did the 40th anniversary one, but there is, you can go back and watch hers. The very, like, if she's only done anything recently, it's her popping up now and again in a little bubble and just saying a one-liner. But then the end of the movie, she sits and talk about it. You would love Joe Bob Briggs,
Right,
Paul.
right.
You would
Amazing.
absolutely, he's amazing. Like, that man knows more about horror than anyone, and he's been doing it for so long, and Shudder have given him such a platform, because he was very much on the, like, obscure, like, not many people knew about him. You had to like have special access for certain things to see him, and now he's completely accessible, and his sets are brilliant, his guests are brilliant, his movies are fantastic, what he
Okay,
picks.
no, cool.
He's on Shudder.
The same sort of thing that Elvira had originally when she was doing it as the TV show is that for some people it was the gateway of being able to watch a movie you couldn't get hold of. You'd have to watch it cut into segments because it would cut away to her talk, go back to the movie. Joe Bob does the same thing. So it's like, it's been great for a few movies that have not been on Prime, but he's covered them. So I'm like, I
Right,
can
yeah.
sort of watch the movie segmented through him.
Oh, that's a good way of doing
But
it.
Darcy, yeah, Darcy is almost the modern day Elvira in a
She
sense. It's like
really
she's there.
is.
For a look, 100%,
Right.
she's there for a look.
Yeah.
There's lots of tongue-in-cheek jokes that gets made to him, her, about being an ex adult film star and an ex Playboy model, about what really goes on. But she knows everything. She's the one keeping him right sometimes about what the actual facts are. And
He's
it's
been
always good to see
doing.
where people don't appreciate that in her and just see, like, oh, she's just there because she's
Yeah.
boobs, and it's like.
And she always cosplay, not always, but she 9 times out of 10 she'll be in a cosplay of something random. It might not even have anything to do with the movies that they're talking about. But he's been doing it since 1986.
Yeah. Only thing, it's one of those things. I am interested, but since joining these kids and these hipsters on the tickety tock, tockety tick, and being all down with the
Thinks
homie,
he's cool.
being all cool
Thinks
and
he's
stuff,
cool.
I have noticed as well. And again, this is not a shot or this is not a shoot at anyone to say things. The abundance of movie experts that are flying about, and that's one thing we've never claimed to be or wanted to be
No.
type thing,
God, no.
but it's crazy. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's great that, like, say there's these platforms that give people the voice and stuff, but a lot of them, but again, this might sound like a dig, and I do apologize, I'm not making it up to anyone, but a lot of them are just reading off facts like it's Wikipedia, or it's like this person directed this movie and such and such, and just all the all going off that, and that is basically the content they are putting out. And again, it not it's again, if that's what they want to do, and that's fine, all power to you and stuff like that, but there seems to be everyone and the dog seems to be doing it at the
Yeah, I
I
mean,
think
and
it's good. But it's a universal shared now love of movies that previously you were the nerdy kid who stayed at home too much to constantly be watching every film, everyone else out getting lots in a field. I did both, so
Me too.
but now it's all of a sudden there's just this complete shared, like,
Universe, like.
universal logic of everybody loves this stuff. I think there's still a lot of people trying to prove that, like, say they're not, kind of, well, if you watch this, do you know about this? And it's like now people can really kind of prove their point and back themselves up so they're not accused of being another one that doesn't know.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, like, since doing this, I have worried about people trying to catch me out. And then I just think to myself, there's no reason for me to be worried. We all know I haven't seen anything. So it's not like I have anything to prove. I've already made that point very clear. But Monsters has kind of the same, not the same format as what you're seeing online. It
No,
obviously comes with a lot of facts and stuff like that. But it's, and they do come offline. There's no other way to find shit out. But it's not reading verbatim. I
No.
only ever read anything verbatim if I don't fully understand it. So, like, if there's a convoluted story that I don't particularly want to mess up, it's the only time I'll read something verbatim. The rest of it is just, you'll see. You can see it's
Yeah, but
just
when you do
me talking
monsters,
shit.
when you do monsters, you're talking about something, and if something genuinely does touch you, like Troll 2 did, that was like hilarious just to see your reactions and stuff from it. And that again, that's not, again, I'm not slating people who go out and do
No,
that,
I.
because we do similar things, like we've got different things, but it's just amazing to see how many people do that type of thing as well. And probably
Yeah.
that's why probably our stuff doesn't get as many views. I'm not saying I don't want more views, but because we kind
I
of
do.
like go into it into more, well, like most of our episodes are like, what, like we're trying to get them down to about an hour 20, an hour and a half. But like when they go over that, because it's like the passion, where you see all the other ones that they condense everything down into 10, 15 minutes, like slots, or even less than that. It's like I want to, like, this is why I love doing these type of podcasts, because seeing how Jess gets excited, see you get excited by your character, and then just like talking about a certain point that might throw you, but then we go off into a different point. That's where the interest always,
Tangents.
that's where it always comes for me more interesting. Again,
No, I
that wasn't me taking
totally.
a shot. I was just being very careful what I
No,
was
no,
saying as
but no, and I told,
well.
no, I told, and I totally get what you mean because I've seen them myself where they're sitting there and you can tell they're just reading off something that they've literally ripped off Wikipedia to almost prove a point. I love this. Like, well, if you love it, just if you really are genuinely passionate about it, just say why. The only reason, like, the format that we have for certain shows that we do is just to be more informative, is to be a bit different. So we're not just repeating how Nerdy Up North's done and stuff like that. But I've just thought of another. Oh, go on. What were you
Because
going to say?
I guess fact and point, we've had 3 episodes on Beetlejuice in the last month, and they've all been weird and wonderfully different.
It's totally different. Completely and utterly 100% different, every single one of them. I've just thought of another horror host who is still performing today. And he is probably older than Elvira, maybe. Sven Gulli.
Oh, I was gonna say Vincent Price is dead, so it can't be him, so
Oh, don't, didn't it? Still raw. No, Sven Gulli, or Svengali, however way you want to say it. He still is doing a show. He's now added new cast members to it. He's made it a whole production, but and he's still horror hosting. So there is still people out there. It's just we don't get to see them because it's like special access to them again. I know Joe Bob Briggs has got more of a reach now because he's on
Shudder,
Shudder, but the rest of them, it's you gotta really go on, you gotta really go and find them. Monsters intro is in tribute all to Svengoolie.
Well, we all inspired by someone. Like, I rip off Kevin Smith like nobody's business. Like, as I keep on telling everyone, I am just
Well,
I'm just a witch version of Kevin Smith, just with less talent.
Timu, I got jealous over Michael when Trek first came out, and Michael perfected his intro, and I was like, no, I know, I'm not having them. I'm not having this. So I went out and I went and looked at B horror movie, and this is how I found them all out, that they're all still there. But I've been watching Joe Bob Briggs for years. They are so much fun. Honestly, Paul, if you had like just a day of doing nothing, I would recommend just putting one of these shows on because they're all
I
long.
can't even get half an hour doing nothing with you retrobates coming after us with shit. It's like I try to even quit to get 2 weeks off. That didn't work.
No, you landed a big fucking job, you tit.
21 million they made.
Oh my
21
God.
million. And
That's
I felt guilty that they paid for our train tickets. Fuck
I'm so guilty
that.
after that. I thought you could have paid me more.
Okay.
You got that much out of it.
The videos, the content we put up for that as well, it was worth much more, I can tell you. There was quality content we did.
Absolutely. Abso-fucking-lutely. Even though I wasn't there, but I was still part of it. I was still kind of there in spirit.
But yeah, coming back to Elvira, because
Elvira,
it's
we just went on massive tangents. Do you know we've just had a hefty weekend?
yeah.
Can I just say, you know, have a bit of sympathy.
It's been a moment, it's been a day. But yeah, one of the scenes that I just like, again, it shouldn't have worked, but it was done so well. Because like a lot of these moments in this film shouldn't have worked or shouldn't been
No, they
as had
shouldn't.
no right to being as good as it should have been. The chastity picnic party,
Oh, hey.
where basically the curse goes in and she's like, oh, it doesn't work. But it's made these like say a frigid type. Tight-knitted people, the most horny, randy people you have ever seen, and
Free-loving
you see some nanas
spirit.
stripping, nanas sitting on people's faces. Someone runs
That's
off
what
with
it
a sheep.
gets us.
Sorry.
That bit's the funniest bit is where she like she steals the ball and like she won't let anyone else have it. And then she just casually just walks up with that guy laid on the field, lifts the skirt and just sits down.
But as a child, you wouldn't
Oh,
have got that reference. You wouldn't have got, oh,
no.
and he's just sitting on his
No, it's like,
face.
oh, she just wants to get comfy.
That's a nice pleasant
Yeah,
scene.
I think that's the thing with this movie. Like, considering when I watched it at my age, and now my daughters are the same age now. But to be honest, no, I would not show my children it now,
Your
because I've
children are
got
too
more fear
innocent.
watching it of just like I don't want to have to answer any of those questions
You
after
just
they've
don't,
watched
yeah.
the movie.
When are
I
we
think
going?
that's the problem
When are we
now.
going to the Chastity picnic, Mum?
But isn't that such a huge problem now? Like, because our parents, I don't, they didn't give a shit. Like, they generally didn't give a shit. But because you've been there from a young age, you've now got to take the responsibility of not just questions, but the nightmares that come along with it.
I tell you what,
And
that.
I would not like that.
There's
Mm-hmm.
There's the questions, there's the a monster might want to make them stay up late at the night time, there's the life choices afterwards when you watch this stuff so young. So, why am I not watching these things?
Just wait, Jess's daughters, the new Elvira's coming through, the Elvira twins, but yeah.
Oh my gosh.
But you know what was funny? It was quite funny, like something actually funny happened to me today after watching this movie.
Go on.
Literally about half an hour after watching this movie, I was like, all right, settling down, getting like chatting shit with all the nerds. I got a knock on the door. So I was like, all right, then someone's knocking the door. Might be a delivery. So I opened the door and there's this little old man. He looked at us and went, oh, how are you today? Oh, no, I'm fine. How are you? He went, can I talk to you about our Lord and Saviour? I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I went, no. And they shut the door. But yeah, so basically the Jehovah's Witnesses were out there listening, watching me. Saying, he's watching Elvira. He's sinning. He's watching the naughty films.
This man needs God.
This man needs Jesus. He needs saving.
So
after watching Elvira, it brought the Jehovah's Witnesses to the door. That's how powerful this movie is.
Am I just not watching the right films? Because I never get them knocking on the door. My best friend's always like, oh, they've been back again. I'm like, come to my house. I know I live in Shiny Row, it's the murder capital city of the Northeast, but you know,
it's the lost.
I think our household, they turn up once and only ever once, and they never want to return back.
I'd be like, I turned up to Sammy's, it's like, what's it, San Diego? Not San Diego, the town from Lost Boys, my brain's not working.
Oh gosh, mine not either. Remember
Santa Clara.
Santa Clara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Santa Clara of the Northeast. It's full of vampires. That's Sammy. Oh.
Sorry, just a quick one on the Lost Boys. Have you seen the Lost Boys poster on Amazon Prime? Because it's on Prime to watch for free. Have you seen the poster?
No.
Yeah, it's like French or something, isn't it? Instead of being
it's
the Lost
a completely
Boys.
Different language.
Oh, well.
Yeah, actually, the other day, and I was like, why? I was like, is there a dubbed version? Like, no, it's the full American version, but not the right poster.
I'm so sick of finding links to things that are turning out to be Spanish and Italian that I was like, are you telling me now Prime's doing it to us?
it's getting the algorithm now, though. But I do own this on Steelbook Blu-ray as well, so that was one of my things. But
Elvira?
I've got a collection of Elvira stuff all around.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah.
We don't need to talk about that.
No.
I found that it was it's on YouTube. You can watch it on YouTube for free.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Someone was really lovely and uploaded the full movie. Bad quality, but you can still watch it.
I have little neon. Over.
My friend's got mine. I'm waiting for it. I was looking today. I was like, I didn't have it here yet. They've still got it.
Well, like, to Paul's credit, every time she comes up, any version, and especially if she's been reduced in price, he always tells us, I never buy her.
The only one I didn't get, and I'm gutted I didn't, because I didn't realise at the time, if you pre-ordered it the day it came out from the NECA website, you got her autograph inside. And I missed out on the pre-order, and it was like, but the only thing was, it was kind of, I don't know, I think it was the Pride dress.
So
it was very colourful. But the problem with the Elvira figures, the last ones I've got, it's the exact same model, exact same head, and it's just to see a different dress, because I've got the black dress there, I've got the red dress there. That's the only different one, the Santa Claus one, where you get the little gremlin and stuff like that as well. But I didn't get the Pride one because I was like, oh, I don't need another Elvira. But then I realized, I was like, shit, if I pre-ordered that from the NECA website, I would have got a signature and it was sold out by the time I went back. But it was only, I think, 40 quid.
Yeah. Oh, that's... Mm-hmm. Oh, no. No, he does. He always tells us whenever she's come up, like, oh, she's been reduced in price. And I literally have no room. I don't know what I'm going to do with all these purchases that I've made over the weekend. I don't know where I'm going to put them all. I think I'm convincing people.
Show us what you bought, Sammy.
Fuck off. Oh, it's all in the other room. It's put away.
So there is something in the movie that always makes us giggle, and it's the, what do you even call him? The guy that she's ends up with in the end?
Brad?
Bob, I think it was, wasn't it? Bob.
Bob, that's it, Bob.
Was it Bob or Brad? Because he's such a generic, he's the most
Chad.
Generic oh,
he was,
guy.
He was boring. He was too boring for Elvira.
He is, but it comes up because it's like there's a certain thing that's so like kind of true even now. It's like you're an alternative girl and you try to date and you go on one of these dates and you're like, you end up being Elvira where she's sitting and say, have you ever seen this movie? He's like, no. Mm-hmm. Like, have you seen this movie? No. You've got to have seen this one. No. Like, right.
Just seeing that alternative girls, you would never have had that problem if you dated me. Just saying.
Instead of like, there'll be this like kind of himbo-esque guy who will be chasing alternative women that has no business being in this like situation, but he is just like, he's such a blank sort of almost like kind of oddly too dumb, like he's really not aware of anything. Like there is just cotton wool behind
there's nothing behind there.
I feel that if you had anyone with because Elvira's personality is so big, you needed something to kind of counterbalance that. Because if you had someone with an equal personality to Elvira, it would have been a shit show. If you had like a Michael Keaton type of performance, like up to Elvira, it would have been like too much. She would have been drowned.
Yeah, she would have been absolutely drowned in it. I have a funny feeling that Bob might be based on Mark, who is her ex-husband. Like I said, doesn't come off great in a book sometimes. However, the Elvira's theme from the soundtrack, he wrote that. Bear in mind, Mark Pearson has a lot to do with this movie. Like, it doesn't happen without him. Because they did have a really strong relationship until they didn't. Yeah, I have a feeling that Bob might be centered on somebody ever so slightly.
Interesting.
I think it does play really well in the movie because it does that whole like, it changes the gender roles that now instead of being like a dumb kind of blonde woman, like, oh, I don't know what's happening. It's like, it's the guy stuck in the situation. And the women are far more aware of what's going on. But I think it does set this amazing tone throughout the movie of, it is very wholesome. You've got all these teenagers that literally can't have a life. They're not allowed to do anything because it's all run by old people.
And
when she puts the movie theater night on for them, the cutest thing is when they're all getting themselves ready to sneak out. And it's the last who gets told, like, could you put a tiny bit of makeup on? And her little perfect white shoes that she takes out the box because, like, that's her, like, kind of step into feeling a bit like a grown-up girl. She can wear a little pair of high heels. And it's just so cute. It's not, like, some big debauched pair of boots. It's just these cute little white cult shoes that you'd wear at, like, church on a Sunday morning. But that being, like, their step, like, they can have personalities. They are at the prime of, like, their sort of growing up. They should be outgoing in the theatre.
And there's a really sweet little moment in that movie theatre with them two as well. Because normally if you think teenagers are like, oh, he'll be trying to grab a handful or, like, try a kiss, it's a simple, he puts his arm around her shoulder and she kind of leans in and it's just enough. And it's just like, it's like a little, it's like a little ah moment.
It is, and I think the best part about it is the relationship between Cassandra. Because 2024-wise, you're looking at it going, why is Cassandra befriending, or Elvira befriending these teenagers? But it's more, and it's more to do with the fact of, like, kind of giving them whatever confidence she has, kind of passing it on to them, seeing how repressed that they are. And the best part about every single one of them is they never lose their actual identity. They don't turn around and go, oh, well, I'm just going to be her. Because that's how she's got her confidence. They find their own, but not changing too much about themselves, like, as in the way that they dress and such like that. I always love that aspect of that dynamic. But what really interested me was the house itself. When they were decorating it, that's not how I expected Elvira's house to turn out to be, like a pastel bloody princess palace.
It was interesting. Choices.
It was swimming.
It was just for the joke of when, like, obviously the audience sees it first and you expect it to be like, what did the dude say? It's amazing. I'm like, I love it. like all these crazy colors. It's an amazing joke. Like, it is the least expected. You expect, you know, fully black, like,
exactly. All she would do is just, you know, tidy it up a bit, because you've seen her car at the beginning, and she's got the she still owns that car.
You would never give it up. That's
no, she still owns it. So there was, I don't know if you ever remember the times when, you know, the likes of porn stars, you know, the TV show about the porn brokers and that era of telly, and they had a
restoration. My ride type thing.
Yeah, and they had a restoration one of a guy who does muscle cars.
Right.
I loved it because I love American cars. And he got a hold of hers and did a whole restoration job on it and put it back to its glory, because obviously it's seen better days.
Yeah.
It just been sitting in her garage, and he absolutely made it look exactly like it, you remember from the film. The same chain wheel, steering wheel.
I don't think it
sold quite a lot of it off, like had a lot of it taken off the car, and it's all gone to auction. Like, the steering wheel's gone, that got sold off in 2017. And other parts of the car, like all the little things on the dashboard, she sold all them off to auction.
Right.
So, like, I don't think what it looks like now, it's like a shell of what it was, because she just keeps.
Oh my god, he did such a beautiful restoration job on it. you see the car, and obviously the leopard print, the metal, the pretty much heavy metal of it all, the punk rock of it, and then that house.
Yeah, but the house is fantastic. One thing I wanted to talk about as well, because I know it sounds really weird saying this, but the movie itself is kind of based in like almost like realism, like a certain way like certain towns treat people and stuff like that. And then you do have the fantastic element as well. That there's a little switch in the movie that happens, and it goes from kind of crazy to absolutely batshit bonkers, is when they decided the town was going to bring back the law from the Salem times that if you're practicing witchcraft, you get burnt as a stake. No trial, no busy, or you're judged, jury, executioner. You go to jail, and the same night, you're going to get burned at the fucking stake. And the reaction to that, it's like, fuck. And that's when this film blows up and just goes absolutely ridiculous.
This is where it really blew up, because they actually set Cassandra Peterson on fire.
Right.
Bearing in mind, as a child, she had that horrific injury which has left her body scarred for life, and they actually set her on fire.
Fuck. They melted her wig because of the heat. It's interesting when it gets to that point.
It's a wig.
Excuse me.
So novel, because of how everybody turns on her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's done the meeting at the night. Obviously, you've got Patty here because she's taken her man.
And she's got big
Patty with the pointy boobs.
I know.
What was Patty thinking?
It's, you know, you've got Vincent is obviously trying to get, so he can get in and get that book, and they're coming to the precipice of the night that he needs it. Then you've got the Chancellor against her because she's corrupted the kids. But it is that guy from Wayne's World, he's turned against her because she rejected him. Burn her, because, you know, she embarrassed me. She wouldn't let me get anywhere near. And like how toxic they all become, except for the cute little old guy who has the little guest house. Like, he's the only one who kind of doesn't.
Yeah.
He's like kind of supportive of her.
It's like, can we not burn people? This seems to be wrong. But then they make jokes and say, "Oh, we should do this once a month." I was like, "What? How bloodthirsty does these people come?"
do you just have like a person of the month that you don't like, and it's like, right, you get on that.
That sounds actually quite a good idea. So can we start?
You kind of put me on repeatedly every month. It'll be a one and done job.
Burn the bitch, but yeah.
I think like there's that heavy influence of Vincent at this point in the movie that, like, it's great because from the moment it starts, he now comes out in a full robe.
Yeah.
He's fully changed, and no one's noticed that he's changed from being this businessman to this fully occult.
I
love, because
Anton LaVey looking motherfucker.
Yeah, that point is his physical makeup changes in every shot. That once he goes out of shot and comes back in, he starts getting more and more grotesque. Like his cheeks start to sink in, his eyes sink back, and it starts forming outward.
When I watched it, I had to go back and like say, because I said when he changed, I was like, is he like the guy? What's the guy from Fright Night? I'm trying to get his name now.
I should know this. I did the episode.
Roddy McDowell. I was like, I was like, is it him? Because it almost looked like the makeup and everything was like either like a cross between Roddy McDowell and Peter Cushion back in the
No, no, mm-hmm. the amalgamations there definitely looks like all of them. But even like from kid to adult, my opinion of him has never changed. I am completely and utterly icked out by him from the second he walks on screen to the second he dies. Like the ick factor is just there and it doesn't leave. And when he starts to transform, I'm like, yep, yeah, you're disgusting. Don't like you.
Can I ask though as well? What is Elvira's shoes made of? Because she come out of the store with a rifle and shoots him and doesn't leave a scratch. But then she throws a stiletto and it gets stuck in his forehead. So has she got some kind of like?
Hey, eighties shoes, man. They were completely indestructible. Believe you me, I tried with my mother's high heels and it didn't work. It's the Rambo look. Did I want that look when I was a kid? Or did I want to be female Rambo? Elvira Rambo?
Well, I know I'm going to break canon here, but while making the costume for the weekend that's just happened.
Yeah, exactly, that weekend.
Contemplating trying to do it, where I was like, could I, midway through the day, be able to remove the skirt and turn it to the Rambo version?
But didn't you do that?
No, because it's latex and it's very hard to get.
Oh,
but it's impossible to get in.
I must have imagined it.
Right.
I must have imagined it. You're saying you're doing a Jess.
I'm not going to make the comment to get myself into like if you need a hand to get out, but no, I'm not going to go there. Move on.
Nobody wants to be that person.
No, they don't. Latex is horrible.
The amount of liquid that is going to be trapped between the latex and my body is going to be bloody disgusting when that.
Oh well, that's good to know. I'm glad I hugged you many times while we were there at the weekend.
Graham's going to get that pleasure of having to unzip me when we get to the hotel.
Oh, the joys. Remind me next week not to wear this new eyeliner I've getting, because two weeks in a row now, it's halfway down my face.
Oh no.
Yeah, the same thing happened on the Beetlejuice episode. I mean, I was absolutely crying with laughter and it was just down my face. I looked like the Joker at one point. Just to go into the soundtrack before we start wrapping this up, the last song, the Here I Am.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God, did I ever have that on repeat forever and ever and recorded it on my tape recorder and just replay it, repeat, repeat, repeat. Do you know who it's written by?
No.
Are you Pee Wee Herman fans?
Not really, no.
No? Oh, well, if anyone is a Pee Wee Herman fan, like me, it was done by, I had to go and find his name because I couldn't remember it. He's called John Dixie Paragon and he played Jambi the genie in Pee Wee's Big Adventure and Pee Wee's Playhouse. Oh, and he wrote Here I Am, which is just, you know, has a rap and everything in it, man. And she just...
It's so 80s, like... Mm-hmm. It's so great, and then also you just get that rap moment. And you're like, I definitely know this is an 80s film now. If like it had to include rapping
and the moving heads and the people who are dancing with the heads moving, and the fact that she then booby tassels at the end.
Yes,
that is honestly that is the pièce de résistance when it comes to this film.
Because there's so many places this film could have ended, and like I said, they had to end it with the show as well. I would have been happy if they just did like. And name and lights, I was saying, but you get to see Elvira Shaw, which was, like I say, a bit special. But one thing I wanted...
It almost didn't happen in the movie.
All right.
Apparently, when they were doing it, the executives at the film studio they were working with went, you can't have her on stage doing all of this. It's like, we're going to end it, basically, like, once the townspeople are like, please stay, Elvira. Like, you've been so great. And then they're showing the full cut, and they're like, but could we? Because, like, some people push, like, no, I want the Las Vegas scene at the end.
Yeah.
Because the movie turns, they're like,
It makes
go
it go
on,
full
you
circle.
You can have it at the end.
Well,
you can have
if you don't
bit.
If you don't have it though, it makes it go. It doesn't make it go full circle. She starts
yeah.
off wanting to have her Las Vegas show, and she goes on
mm-hmm.
such a journey, transformation. She gets her show.
Yeah.
Like she manages to turn a whole town to be her friend and like not against her anymore. She deserves her show.
It could have been. Mm-hmm. Could have done her Elvira town, like to have the Las Vegas show in that town. That would have been an interesting turning point, but she relived a dream.
Exactly, she just wanted the Las Vegas life, because again, it's part of who Cassandra Peterson is. She does. I mean, she follows. This is such a great success. This movie, by the way, it's such a it's such a surprising success. And she follows it up with with Elvira's Haunted Mansion. Oh, a Haunted Hill Mansion, something like that. Oh, that didn't go down too well. She got studio money for that too.
Right.
And it just fucking bombed.
You don't really hear too much about that one either. I know she's done other stuff.
She won't release it. She doesn't really talk. Like, she barely mentions it in her book because it's such a, like, a, she would class it as a bit of a stain on this career that she's been incredibly proud of. She was not proud of decisions that she made
mm-hmm.
for this movie. You can go and watch it. I mean, have your own opinion.
I think it's on Prime. It's just, it misses it so much because they went for kind of like a House on the Haunted Hill s.
Mm-hmm.
It was very period style horror, and it's like all the jokes that you had in the first one being like modern day are all lost because you can't have the same kinds of jokes in the second movie.
Right.
It's so the first one's like campy.
Mm-hmm.
This one's like, well, how do we elevate camp? We'll just turn it to 11.
Right.
And it doesn't work because
you
need the subtlety, you need that line that you don't quite cross,
mm-hmm.
and you get borderline cheesiness. That's not there with this one.
And one point I wanted to make before we finish talking about it as well, because I know like Elvira is such an icon. Her like fingertips and her like impact is just reverberated around nerd culture or even movie culture or pop culture as a whole. Like literally so many things modern day now. And I don't know if you guys are watching it yet or if you've caught up with it yet. Have you watched The Penguin at all?
No.
And it's interesting. I know people's going to think, why is he bringing up Elvira with The Penguin? The character in it, Sophia Falcone, played by Christina Milottoni, I probably just said it wrong there. Her look, like, in The Penguin, like, she starts off quite meek, but in the latest episode, when it gives her a bit of a backstory and she's, not to give spoilers, how she's dealing with her family, she is the double of Elvira, just in a yellow dress.
Ooh.
So basically her eyes are so like painted almost like Elvira, and she wears a dress like quite low cut, and it's almost like she's empowered, like being quite empowered in this scene as well, and it's almost like they've taken the kind of like the inspiration with her look there from
that
aspect. And again, I only got it today because I watched Elvira Mistress of the Dark, and before we've done this episode, I watched last night's episode, which absolutely, honestly, I never thought Batman would be so close to The Sopranos. It's crazy at how good this show is.
Well, that's gonna go well with a lot of people, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like DC mobsters have never done well. Like, it's always been done in the cheesy side. This is showing the brutality, the dirty, the grime. And just her performance, like, if she doesn't win awards, like, honestly, what she goes through in the latest episode, it shows you Arkham being scary. Because Arkham's always been a joke. So I'm going into like Batman now, but this episode, it shows you the true fear and the true exploits of what goes on at Arkham Asylum. And
honestly, you've not mentioned it until today, so I didn't actually know it was on.
I'm watching that much shit at the moment.
I like to say that I am, but I'm really not. I'm just repeating the cycle again. I'm back on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Like, say, talking about Elvira-esque, like Audrey Plaza in Agatha. Wow. Yeah, but yes.
Don't, because I can't, honestly, if we start talking about Agatha, We're gonna be here all night because I've got so much to say.
Down,
We'll just
down, 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 and the
if I
horse
don't
is
get that
running.
goddamn song out of my fucking head too. Just before we end, I have mentioned this. If you watch the Women of Nerd Pul Cop the Nerd
Women
Women
of
of
Nerd
Nerd
Culture.
Culture, you'll know how important this woman is to us. She is my everything. She is partially like she helped me with my kind of identity growing up, and I absolutely adore her. I mean, I can't put into words the how she actually like or what she means to us. It's just I know it's there. It'll always be there. But yeah, I just wanted to add that little ditty at the end,
Cool. I'm not
just in
gonna,
case you didn't know how much I love her.
I'm not gonna do a rating for the film again because I don't think it's fair. Because it's not a 5-star movie, but again, there's nothing you would change in it. That's the
There's
problem.
not, no, there's not. There's not. If you did start trying to mess with it, then you mess with the actual heart and soul of it, and the points that it was trying to make. Because there is some good points in there, and there is some life lessons that can be learned in there. So to start changing the formula, to start making change, it just no, you lose all its spirit.
And is there anything you want to add there, Jess? I know.
I know you've had a rough
Oh.
weekend.
What? It's been a rough weekend. It's been a good weekend. Not in terms of Sammy though, this was massively defining on kind of I don't necessarily walk around looking like Elvira every day. I know
No.
you sort of seen me wandering around as Elvira, but all that aspect of the tongue-in-cheek humor, being able to be quite feminine, but still have quite a strong voice, quite a strong mind. These were all the things that I think, like your old me was just like, I want to be her. I
Yeah,
think, what
so badly. When I
is
grow up, I want to be Elvira.
No,
Yeah,
I do,
that was it. That was it.
and again, I know, and I'm not saying this in like a patronizing way. I do think all women or young ladies should watch this movie at some point as well, just to give them, like, say that little, that message that Elvira does give. I think a lot of people that might need it, like, say, might be missing out. And not saying that would change the lives, like, clearly it changed the lives of two goth ladies that's with me this evening. But it, again, it's life affirming. It's a positive role model when there's not that many positive role models out there.
Yeah, because growing up we had Princess Leia. And it's kind of understandable by like I gravitated more towards the male when it comes to my hero, like my Pete Venkman and shit like that. She was probably the only one who I can hand on heart say from a very young age has been my feminine icon. I wasn't looking for anyone else because she was all that I needed. So everyone else didn't matter. It's only been in the last few years that I've kind of looked and went, oh gosh, I had Carrie Fisher, I had Sigourney Weaver, like I had so many other women to be looking up to, but yet I chose her,
That's not a bad one. Like, say, I
and I
got.
will always forever cho cho choose her.
Yes, she would always be the right choice. But yeah, but no, thank you guys for watching us live.
Yeah,
Chris, I love
it's
you.
been great.
Lee, you're a beautiful beast. Jake, I love your hair. Goodwill, you're the best ginger I know. but just to say as well, thank you guys. Like, say, I know, like, supporting us. Like, we are having a blast with the spooky season. The next
Yeah.
episode's going to be a dark and interesting one. We're going
Is it?
Midnight Mass.
Oh
So.
God, yeah. Oh gosh, yeah. It's gonna be great because we're gonna have Sonia on and
I don't know. I've got to think. I think Jess is on as well, aren't you?
Jess?
I think it's
I
me.
don't
I
know.
hope it's me because I think we watched
All
it.
right. I've got the list up
But
then. Is
you didn't even see. You just sat there like
that...
I couldn't even tell if you were going to be on or not. I was like,
You, I don't want to say in case I'm actually not on
That's fine.
No, you say you know more than us. That's the problem. You remember things we don't. No, it's gonna be an interesting
Well,
one. It's
Sonia and Jess, I have got them on. Yeah, sorry.
just to confirm.
But
But no,
it's been a DM, sorry.
it's It's fine. I couldn't remember. I couldn't even remember what the episode was. And I'm sure me and Sonia bullied you into it.
Because I think originally we were going to do a full month of Mike Flanagan, but I thought that would have been a lot.
That's a
But
lot.
yeah,
That's a because that's a lot of tricky subjects to fit into 1 month. Midnight Mass is perfect. It deals with every aspect of a Mike Flanagan production. So it's going to be a really interesting. I would say the potentially could be potential trigger warnings in there because of the subject matters that's going to be talked about. But hey, if you've
Yes.
watched it, you know what you're in for.
Great. And the next monsters is the Omen.
Yeah, coming up tomorrow is we're doing one of my favorite movies of all time. Went great. Yeah, enjoyed it. Really enjoyed recording it. I know a lot, just to say. Yeah, I'm gonna bore the tits off you with all my knowledge on the Omen. I did it on somebody else's podcast. I might as well do it on my own. So yeah,
Yes.
that's 8 o'clock tomorrow on YouTube.
No problem. Like I said, we'll have other stuff out coming out as well. I know, like I said, me and Jess are going to talk about doing an online quiz, hopefully in November as well. We've got the charity stream, which we will start organising after this episode. So we will, because we said we would start planning it probably after For the Love of Horror. So
And it's now after the
For the
Full of
Love
a
of Horror.
Horror.
So yes, so that's going to be the fun time, Charlie. We've picked the movies, and next we're going to just set up the page, and people can bid and donate to actually help out and be on certain movies.
Yeah, we've got such a great format for how we want to do it. Kind of the starting point's there. It's gonna be fun. It's gonna be 12 hours. It's if we don't kill each other in them 12 hours, that will be the goal.
Yes. After watching Neverending Story and Sammy won,
Oh,
Atreyu, Atreyu. That's Artex, isn't
Atreyu
it?
is done.
It's Artex, isn't it? Sorry, Artex.
It's been so long, I couldn't even correct you on it. No, I'm gonna do it because I said I would.
Because you made me watching fucking Jar Jar, so that's going to be interesting.
I did have the medicine.
But yes, but yeah, lots of things to come out for it, and like I say, after this comes out, the week after is the quiz. So join Jess and Sammy and Graham where they do the Halloween special. So you can be the Halloween quiz champion if you want to be as well. And it's going to be the Monsters Up North theme. So yes, we'll
Monsters.
have a few questions and things from Dan as well. And just to say a big well done to Dan, who
Yes.
sponsored the For Love of Horror trading hall. So again, just being absolutely more and massive, so well done, young lady. Like I say, very proud of you, very, very glad to have you part of the team. So yes, anything you want to promote before we go there, Jess? Have I said it all?
I think you've said it all. My head's just spinning now. I'm like, oh, so much to do. So many things.
Yeah, you're actually involved in quite a bit that we're doing over the next few months.
Yeah, we've got the next so
Oh,
Midnight
this
Mass
year.
and Halloween 3, I think you're on as well. But the Halloween 3, we need to work out a time to record that to word for Halloween, because can't have it on Halloween because that's Sammy's wedding
Wedding
anniversary.
anniversary, yes.
Yes, same, I know, so it's fine. But yes.
Yes, I think my husband might be sending us some papers if I said I'm gonna be recording on that night. Actually, I don't think he'd give a shit.
It's got getting. I can play some more games, so that's fine. So
Oh,
same bat time, same bat channel.
stay nerdy, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.